Happy Mother's Day. We are we're going to be reading from the letter of John today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have these great Bibles in the back that we love to see people take off that table and bring them home and keep them. And if you don't have a Bible today, feel free to go back and grab one. How you get to the letter of 1 John is go to the last book of the Bible. Go to Revelation and go to the front of that book. And then flip back about three pages or so, and then you'll be at the letter of 1 John. And while you're flipping there this morning, I just wanted to talk about some of the fun things and highlight some of the fun things and recap some of the things that God has done this winter and this spring. A few months ago, we set 93 people from Cornerstone Church to feed my starving children, and we packed meals for kids in other countries who would otherwise go hungry and be malnourished. We sent 93 of our people there. And because of our work, we are feeding 80 kids for an entire year. And I just think that is amazing. And I thank God for what he's done through our church. And what I also think is amazing is the first Sunday that I spoke here, our attendance was 89. And God has brought so many people here that we now send more people to feed my starving children than attended that first service. And so that's really exciting that God is doing something through Cornerstone Church. And I thank God because, you know, every day I wake up and I'm reminded that things don't have to be going this well. You know, it's because of God and his blessing that things are happening at Cornerstone. And God is blessing our women's ministries also. This fall and spring, we had 50 women or more attend both of our women's brunch and our women's retreat. Our women's ministries are phenomenal. We've had multiple people come to know the Lord and put their faith and trust in him through Cornerstone Church in the last year as well, which is perhaps the most exciting thing of all. We also have just tons of great stories of us being the body of Christ for each other. I'll find out that somebody is going through something, and I'll call them up and say, hey, is there any way our church can help? And almost always the response is, well, you know, that person, and this person have already come and done this, that, and the other thing. And I think it's amazing that our church, this is a place where you can really connect with other people. And at our church, we know each other's burdens, and we help carry each other's burdens. And I think that is awesome. That's something that I give God a lot of glory and thanks for as well. And we've got a new small group starting this fall again, and we believe that the relationships are the most important, the community. The body of Christ is not a concert, it's a community, and so we want to get people into that relationship with each other, with the people sitting around you, because you are the body of Christ. And so praise God for a new small group. Another thing I'm excited about is we started this last fall an anchored ministry for kids grades third grade through fifth grade on Wednesday nights. And it was just an awesome experience, and more kids kept coming and coming. And if you go to Crosspoint Church on Wednesday nights now, Crosspoint is a church that we rent out, and then we fill it with Cornerstone people, you will see kids running all over the place, and that building is packed with youth and volunteers. And so I just praise God for that as well, and we've got plans in place for this fall to expand our ministries to Wednesday night to include grades K through 2 as well. And so soon on Wednesdays, you'll go to Crosspoint, and you'll see youth from kindergarten all the way up through high school learning about the Lord. And if you want to reach people for Christ, you have got to do youth ministry. That's just the way it is. So many people come to know the Lord through their youth groups and through their youth ministers. And so we take youth ministry very seriously at Cornerstone, and we have plans to expand the youth pastor position to a full-time position. And today we have youth pastor candidate Leo Alves here with his family and his wife, and I'm going to introduce him later. And we have plans to continue to commit to our youth ministry so that we're leading people to Christ. And all those more fun and exciting things have happened over this course of the last year, and God has got plans for this church, and we're involved in something bigger than ourselves. And that's exciting. We are the body of Christ, and God has plans for us. And so let's begin reading from the letter of 1 John. The first verse says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with us, or which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us." And so here we have the disciple of Jesus, John, the beloved disciple, and he is writing about what he has seen, what he has heard, what he has touched, what he's experienced. He's writing about Jesus Christ, the God who existed from the beginning, from eternity past, and came and became a human being and took on flesh. And John experienced being with Jesus Christ in the flesh. And I know every once in a while I will hear a sarcastic comment from someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, and they'll say, I don't believe in the Easter Bunny or the Santa Claus either, as though that was some sort of a legitimate comparison. Many people literally think that Jesus is a myth or a legend or something like that. And I think as Christians too, we can forget that Jesus was a living, breathing human being, because even as Christians, we can think of Jesus, the God who existed from eternity past, or we can think of Jesus, the God who defeated death and sits at the right hand of the Father. We can forget that Jesus walked and talked with us, and there are human beings who touched him and talked with him and saw him and were with him. And John is one of those people. John had that experience. Jesus wasn't a myth. He's not a legend. He's not a mythical figure. He's a historical, real person. And John is going to tell us about what that was like. He says in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And so John's got a message which he's going to share, an experience which he's going to share with us. And he says it's going to lead to two things. He's sharing it for one, so that we can have fellowship with each other, and the other, so that we can have fellowship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the word that John uses in the Greek, the New Testament was written in Greek. We've translated it into English. The Greek word that John uses when he says fellowship is koinonia. It means fellowship, community, communion, intimacy. He's saying through this experience that we've had, through this message that Jesus Christ has given us, and through what Jesus Christ has done, we can have fellowship, community, communion, intimacy with each other. And isn't that what we were made for? Don't we want to know and know other people and be known by them? In our life, our relationships are so often characterized by people who come together for a short time until they get offended by each other, and then the relationship breaks off. Or so often in our lives, what we experience is people who aren't willing to get there, or aren't willing even to open themselves up into that sort of relationship because maybe they've experienced relationships like that which have hurt them in the past. They've gone deep with someone into communion, intimacy, fellowship, and then they've offended each other, and the relationship is broken off, and they've been hurt. And so often in life, we experience relationships which are only this deep. Or maybe some people are afraid to go into those relationships because they're just afraid that people will find out and know their sin and their past or what they've done or what they're really like in their heart. And John is saying the message of Jesus Christ and what he has done brings us into fellowship, brings us into community, brings us into communion, brings us into intimacy with each other. The relationships don't just go this deep, they go further because of what Jesus Christ has done. What John is going to say is that the gospel of Jesus Christ, when our relationships reflect what Jesus has done for us, they go deep because they're based on the principles of sacrifice and selflessness and forgiveness. And when we offend each other, we repent of our sins as we would repent of our sins to God. And we forgive each other as Jesus Christ has forgiven us. And that leads to the type of relationships which we were made for. And I want that type of relationship. I want that type of relationship with you. I want that type of relationship with my family, with my friends. And John's saying we can have that type of fellowship through what Jesus Christ has done. And the other thing is that we have fellowship, community, and intimacy with God the Father. God seems distant. Where is he? Right? Well, through the message of Jesus Christ, the experience that John had walking and talking with Jesus Christ, John has come to know God in this way: fellowship, community, communion, intimacy. And isn't that what we want? I don't know how people go through life ignoring the purposelessness of a life apart from their Creator. I don't know what gets them going. I don't get it. I need to know my Creator. I need to know and have confidence in my purpose here. And John is saying we can have that type of intimacy with the God who created us and knows what we're meant for through this experience. And so John is going to give us that message. He's going to give us that experience. He says, we're writing these things so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him. They heard it from him as he walked and talked in the flesh. They were there. This is a message which we've heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And God is light. There is no evil in him. He is purely good. Light and darkness are a metaphor. In God is only goodness. There is no evil. He is thoroughly, purely good. And evil is the opposite. Evil is bad. Evil is darkness. And God is light. And therefore, God has the power over evil that light has over darkness. What happens when you turn on a light? Do you see any darkness around me right now? Look at these things. They destroy the darkness around me. And there's a type of power that God has over evil. He has complete and total power over darkness. There's no darkness in him at all, and there is no darkness that can stand before him. And that gives me hope. Because whatever evil I am experiencing in my life, whatever evil is brought into my life by others or my own choices, whatever evil is brought into my life by this living in this fallen world, I've got a God who is purely and totally good and completely powerful. And he stands against that evil 100%. And that gives me hope. Because no matter what I face, I've got the most strongest ally in Jesus Christ. I couldn't have a stronger ally. I couldn't have a better friend. And when I hear this message from John, the first thing that does in me is the light of Christ gives me hope. And we're in a sermon series called Balance today. And the idea is that we're going to take two different things which are both true but seemingly opposite and talk about how we can balance them in our lives. In the sermon series, we're going to talk about like, what's important to God? Is it what we believe is true or what we do in our actions? And so often when we encounter these things which are seemingly opposite but both true, we emphasize one over the other and we get out of balance. And so like God's love and God's justice, right? God loves us, but he's also just and holds us accountable. How does that work in our lives, right? So often we just go one way or the other. We got love people, we got justice people. Well, in this sermon, we're talking about the balance of good and evil in God, and frankly, this sermon doesn't fit in this sermon series. I just wanted to talk about the goodness of God today. There is no balance between good and evil in God. There's none. Evil gets flung off the teeter-totter because there's only good. And honestly, this sermon should be called, instead of in a balanced sermon series, this sermon should be in an unbalanced sermon series because God is pure and thoroughly good. There is no evil in him at all, and we're using the metaphor of light and darkness. That wasn't a sign or anything. When we're using the metaphor of light or darkness, God is only light. He is pure. He is unbalanced. He's only one. There's none of the other in him at all. When it comes to God, it's literally all good. And that is something that is mind-boggling and very difficult for us to actually understand and wrap our minds around. That's why John uses this metaphor of the power of light over darkness. They are mutually exclusive. They cannot be both in the same place in the same time. God is light. He is purely good, and his goodness is infinite. It's never ending. It goes on forever. When we experience God, he is eternal, and so we never run out of goodness to experience. He will keep us satisfied for an eternity. And as we go forward with God in that eternity, we will never ever encounter a corner of darkness in God. Because of that, we never have to question God. And certainly we have questions about how this all works out, right? There's a difference between asking questions and questioning God. Asking questions is like, how does this happen? How does this work out? But we never actually have to question God. Like, why would you do that? Right? I don't think a good God would do that. We never have to ask that question. Because God is purely good. We have trouble understanding how God is good amidst all the struggle that we have. And we can ask those questions, but we never have to question God himself because he is pure. We never have to say, we never have to wonder, oh, I just encountered something evil in my life. I wonder if God created that. I wonder if God wanted me to have that. The answer is no. No, he didn't. Because God is purely good. We never have to sit down in our life and say, you know, I really need something good right now. I wonder if God wants me to have it. Because the answer is yes. He does, because God is purely good. God didn't create evil. He doesn't want it. He doesn't will it into our lives. God does not withhold good things from us. He is good. He didn't create or will evil. He's going to destroy it. He doesn't withhold good things. He's going to give us all good things. That's because God is pure. And there's nothing evil that ever sneaks by. And that gives me hope. What evil are you experiencing in your life? What are you going through right now? What darkness are you experiencing? What is Satan trying to bring against you? Maybe Satan's been trying to bring darkness against you through living in a fallen world, the accidents you experience or the illnesses that you've experienced. Maybe Satan's trying to bring some darkness in your life through your experience with others and the sin in their life, their consequences, their attitudes, bringing evil into your life. Maybe Satan's trying to bring you down and bring darkness through the darkness in your heart. Maybe he wants to make you your own worst enemy. There are many different ways we can experience darkness. And what is the darkness that Satan is trying to bring against you today? The good news is there's nothing that sneaks by God. There's nothing that can get by him. And God never gets confused. He sees us. He knows us. He sees our lives. And there's no point that he misses anything evil that's happening. And there's never any point where he gets confused and says, I don't remember if I like that. Or, well, I guess I'll bring it. I'll have that happen this time. God always stands against the evil in our lives and in our world. There's never any change. And that gives me hope. Because I need that. I need God to look at my life. I need God to see the evil that Satan is trying to bring into my life. I need God to stand against it. And the weather this week has just been so perfect, hasn't it? It just has reminded me of the pure goodness of God. Because this weather is just so purely good. And I go out and I experience this beautiful sunshine, and these beautiful temperatures. And it reminds me of what I was created for and what God intended for me to experience. And it stands in stark contrast to the darkness and the evil that I run into on a daily basis in my own life. And honestly, the evil that I encounter as I pastor a church which is headed towards Jesus Christ. And as I see what Satan is trying to do there as well to bring it down. And I step out in the weather and it reminds me of God's power over all of that. It reminds me that God isn't confused, but God is pure light, standing in opposition and going to destroy that evil. And that gives me hope, and that can give you hope this morning too, as long as this beautiful weather lasts on this perfect Mother's Day. Just let it remind you of how God stands against the evil that is in your life and that you're going through as well. Because our world is tainted with darkness, right? Because our world is tainted with darkness, God is unlike anything we've ever experienced. John is going to get into that in verse 6. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Now, without Jesus Christ, we walk in darkness. We don't have time to read the whole letter of John. John speaks very strongly. And as you read through the letter of John, you get the clear definition that to walk in darkness does not just mean that we have sin. Because John's going to go on, he's going to explain, we all have sin. We're all unlike God in that none of us are purely good. We all have sin. And so walking in darkness is not just having sin. Walking in darkness is rejecting Jesus Christ and keeping that sin for ourselves. And that's walking in darkness. The only way we can get rid of our sin, as John's going to explain, is through Jesus Christ. So to walk in darkness is to reject Jesus, the light, and to keep our darkness for ourselves. And if we say that we do not repent of our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we don't have fellowship with him, with God, no matter what we think. We need Jesus Christ to have the type of koinonia, the type of fellowship with others and fellowship with God that we were created for. If we say that we have fellowship with God without Jesus, John is clear. He says we are lying. We're not practicing the truth. We need Jesus. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, and walking in the light is not being perfect, none of us are perfect. Walking in the light is repenting of our sin, rejecting that darkness, and putting our faith and trust in the light, in Jesus Christ. If we do that, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And this makes God very different than anything we've experienced. Because every one of us has sin. We may not think we do, but it doesn't matter what we think. We all have sin. If we think we don't have sin, we're deceived. We don't understand the situation. And again, this makes God different than anything we've experienced. It makes him different than our world, because our world has evil enter it because of human rebellion. And we go through life experiencing natural evil in a world which was created purely good. Hurricanes, disasters, things which were never intended for this creation. We experience that. God is unlike the world around us. And there's darkness in me, and there's darkness in you. If we say anything else, we're lying. And that makes God different than any relationship we've ever had. And because God is so different, it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it. In fact, we can't fully understand him, and we can't fully understand his goodness, because we've never experienced anything else like us. Like it, sorry. This week has been so beautiful out again. As I step outside, it just reminds me of how different God is in that pure, beautiful weather. God is unique. God is magnificent. He is glorious, unlike anything that I've ever encountered. And sometimes we think we can relate to a purely good God, but we just don't understand enough. When we come to further spiritual maturity, come to know God more and more, we realize how truly different he is, how truly glorious he is. And the more we grow in spiritual maturity, the more we understand how little we understand of God's goodness, of how grand it is, of how unique it is. And sometimes we think we can relate to a purely good God because we deceive ourselves and we start to think that we're purely good. Therefore, God's not that big of a stretch. This is interesting. This is something that human beings not only fall into, of thinking that we don't have anything to apologize for, that everything we do we have justification for. We have no reason to say I'm sorry to the people around us. It's not just something that human beings sort of fall into. It's actually our default position. It's really where we start. John is going to say the same thing he does in verse 8 and verse 10. He's going to repeat himself two verses later. The reason why is that probably none of us believed him the first time that they heard it. John needed to say again, look, if you think that you're perfect, you're deceived. If you think you have nothing to apologize for, if you think you're right in every argument, if you think that you're without sin, then you're deceived. If you think you can just naturally relate to a perfectly good God, then you're spiritually immature and you don't get it. Carrie Guest, one of our regular attenders here, posted something on Facebook that you heard on Praise FM on the radio, and it said, if we think we win every argument with our spouse, then we will be married to a loser. Isn't that hilarious? Now, we all laugh at that, right? It's hilarious because, like, the idea that, first of all, none of us really believe we're married to losers. And we all see the pridefulness and the ridiculousness in any person who would say, I win every argument with my spouse, don't we? But when was the last time you lost an argument? When was the last argument you lost? Think about that. No, I was right in that one. Oh, I came off really good in that one, didn't I? No, I don't have anything to apologize there either. It's like our default position. John lets us know, he repeats this. If we say we have no sin and we are deceived, he repeats it because we're broken people, and part of our brokenness is that we're so broken we can't see our brokenness. And so we're broken people running into each other, running around, who don't even realize it. And the light of Christ humbles us, because the more we encounter God, the more we humble ourselves. The more we open ourselves up to receive his goodness, the more we humble ourselves to reject the evil inside of us. Sometimes we think we can relate to a purely good God, but that is just pure deception. We need Jesus Christ. And I know this is my sin. I guarantee every argument that I've ever had with my wife, my marriage reveals my sin. Every argument, I start off defending my selfishness, defending my greed, defending my temper, defending my evil. And is that you? How about at the end of every argument? Have you moved at all? We are not perfect. We are broken people. John lets us know it, and he reminds us of it because we need to remind ourselves of it, because we'll just slip back into our default position. We need to repent. We are not purely good. We have sin, we have darkness, and the light of Christ humbles us. When I hear this message, not only do I get hope, but I get humility. Because I need God. The closer I get to God, the more I realize I need Him. The closer I get to God, the more I realize I need His forgiveness. The closer I get to God, the more I realize I need the cross of Christ. And the closer I get to God, the more I thank God that I've got His forgiveness through the cross. And for those who believe in Jesus Christ, and for those who love Jesus, Christianity is not a part of the background noise of our culture that we just experience. Christianity is at the center of our hearts. For those who love Jesus and know Him, Christianity is not a gift that we unwrap and then we put in the storage basement with all of our other loves. It is in the center of our heart. It's the thing that as we get to know God more and more, it's our most treasured possession. It's our greatest gift. It's what we find as we grow closer to God, we'd sell our stuff for. That we'd change our lives for. Because that's how bad we need it. And the best part is it's given to us. It's given to us because God wants us to have it. God wants us to have that fellowship with Him. God wants us to have that unity with Him. Even as we mistreat each other, even as we rebel against Him, He offers us that through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the light of Christ gives me humility. Spend some time this week on your knees repenting of your sin before God and repenting of your evil before God and rejecting that. You know why? Because it feels great to reject evil. Because evil is terrible. We hate it. And when you look at yourself, when you're not deceived, you'll hate it in you as well. And it feels great to get rid of it. It feels great to reject it. Spend some time on your knees rejecting it. You'll feel wonderful. And spend some time on your knees thanking God and glorifying Him for the forgiveness that He gives to you in Jesus Christ. We repent of that sin and you get rid of it. He takes it away and He destroys it. He destroys it, and you're not perfect. You'll never be perfect, but your sin will be defeated and destroyed, and one day it'll be removed and sent to hell forever, and it'll experience a world that is purely good. So spend some time on your knees repenting of your sin this week and praising God for what is going to come. And spend some time on your knees this week repenting of the evil in you, because it will be destroyed one way or the other. Darkness cannot stand before God. God will not let it go on forever. He's going to destroy it. It's going to happen one way or the other. It can either happen when He returns and with His flaming, fiery sword of judgment destroys all evil and those who choose to keep it for themselves. And the evil in us can be destroyed that way, or it can be destroyed right now as we repent of it through the cross of Christ. Either way, the darkness is going to be destroyed, and God just gives us a choice on the method it will happen. And one way is way better than the other. So spend some time on your knees repenting of your sin. Do it urgently, because the light of Christ makes us whole. If we forgive confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what we were made for. When I go outside and I experience this weather, it reminds me of what I was created for, of what God wanted me to experience. It reminds me of why evil hurts so much, why evil is so bad, because it was never meant for me. It was never meant for you. And so let's get rid of it. Every time I encounter God, I'm reminded of it. And that's why I look forward to Sunday mornings and worship with you and the body of Christ. It's why I look forward to my time in the Word at home and on my knees in prayer and worship. Because that is when I experience the pure goodness of God. It reminds me when I serve others and love other people. It reminds me of that goodness, of what I was meant for, what I'm created for, and where I'll end up thanks to Jesus Christ. And won't you join me in it this week? Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for your goodness. And God, those of us who know it, God, we just proclaim it like John. Thank you, Jesus. You're unlike anything we've ever experienced. Thank you, God. We love you. And God, for those of us who are still seeking that, Lord, open our hearts. God, humble us, Lord. God, I pray we not deceive ourselves, but that we would humble ourselves, repent of our sin, and seek you, God. And God, for those of us who are seeking that today, send your Holy Spirit, God. Bless us with your Spirit, with a knowledge of you, with fellowship with you, God. Deliver us and save us.